Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Warning. On this podcast, we take the cases seriously, but not ourselves.
Although we may attempt to lighten the mood at times.
Our episodes contain graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. So I have a quote from Neil here. This was the other day, and he said to me, quote, "I don't like talking about death, especially mine." Now, that was we were talking about death, mine or his.
Hmm.
And especially yours upsets you.
Oh, I said it about me?
Right. For the listeners, the other day, we were talking about if one of us died, would the other one continue on with the podcast? So Neil asked me the question and I said, yes, I would continue on. And I gave him a backstory, like what I would do. You know what I mean? I wasn't just like, yeah, fuck off. You can fuck off now for all I care. You know what I mean? I gave him backstory and I, you know, so we started talking about if we died and he was just so upset at the thought of him not being on this earth anymore. You know, really, it shook you. Not so much me. That you can come to terms with. But basically, what I said was, if Neil snuffed it, yeah, he's gone. Next week, gone. Choked to death on a sausage roll.
Or befriended a bear or it went wrong.
Or befriended a bear. Yeah. Could happen. Yeah. Not in Ireland, but it could happen.
Yeah.
I said, I will continue on the podcast, but we still need the dynamic that we have. Be a completely different show if I did it on my own.
Hmm.
So what I would do, I would get all of Neil's reactions. I'm going to clip them all from previous episodes. So when I'm telling the case, I'm going to punctuate it with Neil's previous reactions. That's not a bad idea. You know, keep you alive.
I don't think there's enough.
There's over 100 episodes.
Yeah.
There's enough.
And I don't think I've done anything outrageous in every episode.
We've like with the minis and then bonus content, there's over 150 episodes.
Yeah.
You know, I've got quite a lot of you, being all northern and that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that's a right plan.
See, I couldn't do the podcast on my own because I don't know anything about true crime.
Yeah, but you could learn about it.
I don't want to learn about it.
Okay, we can get a new host in.
I'm not replacing you.
Well, you can do. You have my blessing.
You're very original. You're very unique. You're very special.
Yeah. The look of disgust on your face as you're saying this to me. I'm still taking it. I'm still taking it as a compliment, you know?
Yeah.
So you wouldn't. If I died, that's it, done.
Right. Do you think there is anyone, do you think there's any podcaster who I would be able to take under my wing and take over your bit who would be able to put up with me?
No.
Week in, week out?
No.
Like, could you imagine someone like Esther? If she had to do an episode with me every week, trying to schedule it and then actually sitting me down to record it, and having me butt in and talk over her.
I think Esther would love it for the first few weeks. You know, she'd be having a laugh. You'd be cracking her up. And then after all, you'd be like, for fuck sake.
He just doesn't stop.
He doesn't stop. It doesn't, it never eases, does it? I tell you,
she'd probably look at me and go, you napped today, didn't you?
You were on the monster again, haven't you?
Yeah.
I tell you who would be great to replace me for the podcast. I don't just mean in life.
Mm-hmm.
Danny from Danny After Dark.
Ah, she can't put up with me for a night.
That's what I mean. You'd have a good dynamic there. Yeah. Don't you think?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. She just tells me to get fucked all the time.
That's what the people are looking for. You know? Mortals, they love it.
But yeah, who does want to talk about their own death?
It doesn't really bother me. I think it's good to, you know, to not be afraid of it. You know, it's inevitable. It's going to happen.
See, this is the difference between me and you. I'm about to make you feel like a piece of shit.
Okay.
I'm not worried about my death because of me and brown bread. I'm worried about my death because of how it will affect others when I'm not around. Depriving this world of my existence.
Yeah.
You're just thinking about yourself.
What do you mean I'm just thinking about myself?
You're not thinking about how it's going to affect me when
you're
gone.
I'm thinking about me, your partner, of course, you know.
Yeah.
And all of the mortals.
Yeah.
You keep them entertained week in, week out.
Mm.
If they've had a shit week, you know, they can listen to our episode and be like, Neil, that is so Neil.
Sniffing seats.
That is one of your lesser moments. I mean, one of your best moments in terms of hilarity.
Mm.
As a person.
Yeah.
Not great.
Yeah, I think out of all the stuff I've said up until now on this podcast, the one that got the most reactions probably had to be when I said Americans don't have washing lines. I got so much backlash over that.
I think that was both of us, though. I thought it was directed at you.
The day of the episode release, I thought we'd gone viral. My phone were going mad in my pocket. And it would just comment on Spotify, comment on Instagram, comment on Facebook, comment on YouTube. And it was like, I have a washing line. And it was like, I was thinking people in New York City.
No, you weren't. You're talking about Americans.
I was basically picturing Friends when I said it. But yeah. That was probably one of them what stands out for me.
Which, by the way, lads, if we're slagging you off, you can slag us off as well. Feel free. Don't worry about that.
Yeah. Respectfully.
Yeah, well, you know.
You know. Just, don't say we're intolerable or anything.
In.
What?
In.
Yeah. I said un.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. Is it in?
Yeah, intolerable, yeah.
Intolerable. It's intolerable. What the fuck's just happened?
Do you know what? I've been like that all day. I just can't speak. How many times have I attempted a sentence today? I've just given up.
Well, this is why, right. I've been quite bad for it. This is why I've just screenshot something for you to read out from my phone. I'm not reading it.
Oh, yeah. Actually, we did want to read a review out that we got. Now, we got this review a while ago now.
Yeah, we just forgot to read it.
A month or two ago?
Well, we've read it. I mean, read it out.
Yeah. Basically, I think we've mentioned it before, if it's not on the board in front of us when we record, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
We just fucking out of our mind. Like, I read this review and I was like, ah, that's a great one.
Yeah.
And then, out my mind.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
Well, that's all to say, we're going to read it right now.
Now, Megan had to explain this review to me for me to understand it. Because I didn't know what they were on about.
So it's titled Beaches. And when Neil first said that to me, I was like, fucking what?
Yeah.
Plus, they got the wrong podcast? Ultimate Barbara and Bet. She is the wind beneath his wings. It's a great podcast. You'll never have your heart feel warmer while talking about heavy petting a disemboweled body. Neil is a great foil for no-nonsense Megan. It's fun, it's brash, it's sensitive, it's smart, and stupid. It's genuine. When I see a new episode, I'm happy. Stop looking. You found a home for every mood. It is swearing and adult content. So it's the perfect podcast for your teenage son to learn non-toxic masculinity and unquestioning acceptance from a couple of weirdos from across the pond. Now, isn't that lovely?
It's one of the best we've had, I think, for descriptive.
Mm.
What's that?
What's what?
The way you just looked at me and went, hmm. Did I say the word wrong?
No, I know what you're getting at.
Descriptive.
Yeah.
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 But it is.
No, it is, yes.
But you were looking at me like you were about to take the piss out of me.
No.
The bit I take from that the most, because you had to explain to me about Beaches is a film. The word what stood out to me in all of that review was the genuine bit. Because we are.
Do you know what stuck out for me?
This is you and this is me.
I am me, yes.
Yeah.
No, it was a great review. I loved it. And yeah, you know, we are all of those things.
Yeah.
I am me. You are you.
Yeah.
The heavy petting a disemboweled body. That was the bit that stuck out for me now.
Yeah. And what were the toxic masculinity? Who's that on about?
We're not. They're saying we're a good influence on the younger generations. Look at us go.
Oh. Because I'd say you're masculine.
I'm masculine. Like a masculine energy.
What?
I have a masculine energy.
Well, I've just said you come from good stock. Like, you built a bit. You look like you can take a smack.
Yeah.
It's a compliment.
Yeah. No, see, it would be a compliment, but I'm not in shape at all. I can't lift for shit.
No, but you were born like it.
What?
You were born like it.
I was a bigger baby, yes.
Weren't you like 10 pounds?
I was 9'9".
9'9".
Tore my mother in half.
So, what have you got for us today?
Today we are going to be talking about serial killer Michael Madison.
Never heard of them. Wait, isn't he the Madden?
What?
Isn't he like the Madden?
Mad one.
What?
The mad one.
Yeah. Like.
Which one?
Madsen family. Is that what they went by? They had an house in GTA 5 and it was one of the victims' houses.
No, you're thinking of Manson murders. And it wasn't their house. It was the house where murder took place. Well, murders took place.
I literally just said the victim's house.
What?
I literally just said it was the victim's house.
Oh, I thought you said they had a house.
No. I said there was a house on GTA and it was the victim's house.
Oh, apologies.
Wait, so this one isn't him?
No. Oh. I said Madison.
Yeah.
Not Manson.
Manson. Okay, that's where I'm getting it wrong. I thought it was Madison family.
Michael Madison was born on the 15th of October 1977 to parents Diane Madison and John Baldwin. The pregnancy was not planned. His father denied paternity and was never a part of Michael's life. So Michael was left to be raised by his mother, who was not a great parent and did not have a great childhood herself. Her mother, Michael's grandmother, had left Diane's father when she was still young, and she supported herself through sex work and struggled with a heroin addiction. So, unfortunately, it seems we're seeing this lack of parental care and guidance filter down through the generations.
Yeah, but you, like,
statistics.
Wow.
Statistically.
Yeah.
Even.
You'd think on average someone would be better off being brought up by a single mother than a single father, emotionally.
Where are you going with this?
I'm just wondering where it went wrong, because he was brought up by his mum.
Yeah.
Not his father.
Well, I mean, you know, mother or father, being a single parent household, I mean, it must be incredibly difficult.
Yeah, but like all I learned from my dad was how to lose my temper.
I mean, point proven. And that was a two-parent household.
Yeah.
And, you know, still fucked.
Yeah.
There is no right answer here.
Yeah.
As a child, Michael was rarely given the opportunity to socialise with other children. And those landmark moments, such as birthdays or holidays, often went by without any kind of celebration.
That's rough. I think kids, being around kids is more important than people think.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah. That's why they have that reputation. I don't say this, but they have that reputation of people who are homeschooled are weirdos.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not but the weirdos, it's just the usually socially awkward around people.
Yeah, I don't know what my excuse is. I'm fucked socially.
You went to a public school. Like, that's the lowest of the low.
Yeah. Go on. What point are you trying to make here?
Yeah, and you can't hold a conversation to save your life.
I think it's just me.
You're definitely better since I came along.
You actually make me worse, if anything.
Bollocks.
In his formative years, it seems that the majority of socialisation that Michael had participated in came from his mother and her boyfriends over the years. And it was reported that his mother often let her boyfriends discipline Michael and his half-brother as they saw fit.
Oh no, you can't do that.
In 1980, social services became aware of the situation within the home. At just 2 years of age, Michael's mother had forced food down his throat, causing him to vomit. After he had gotten sick, she placed him into a tub of hot water. When Michael began to scream due to the temperature, she took him out of the water and beat him with an extension cord.
Fucking hell!
Not long after this, records show that Michael was treated at the hospital for a large bruise and injury to his forehead. 6 months later, his mother's boyfriend beat Michael with a belt so brutally that he began to vomit and again was taken to hospital. Quote, he was beaten so severely by a boyfriend of his mother that he lost hearing in one ear.
Fucking hell.
At the time of this incident, Michael was just 3 years of age.
Jesus.
Yeah.
So how did he not get taken off the parents? Well, of the mother. If he'd been to hospital.
He was at one point removed from the home.
And then let back in?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
There was also reports with social services that showed that Michael had suffered from contusions, abrasions and swelling to his penis. Clearly, this was not a safe place for Michael to be. And the decision was made to take him out of the care of his mother while she underwent counselling. Unfortunately, though, Michael went from one unsuitable living situation to another as he was placed in his grandmother's care.
This poor fucker needs counselling, not her.
When Michael was returned to his mother, the abuse continued. In 1982, Michael was back in hospital with dehydration. A year later, social workers noticed scratches and bruising on both Michael and his half-brother. By the time Michael was 16, his living situation had become transient. At 17, he was charged with delinquency for inappropriately touching a classmate. At 20, he received a custodial sentence for drug charges. And a few years later, in 2002, Michael was registered as a sex offender after being convicted of attempted rape.
He's been busy, hasn't he?
The year previous, Michael dragged a woman off the street and into a backyard in order to sexually assault her. Michael fled the scene as nearby police approached. For this attack, Michael was sentenced to 4 years in prison.
Four?
Hmm.
Like, I don't get, we've said it in so many episodes about so many different cases, different crimes. I don't understand how they work out the sentence. 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Dragged a woman to sexually assault her.
Mm-hmm.
4 years.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like depending on where you are, they throw a hell of a lot more charges. You know, they would count it as kidnapping and shit. You know what I mean? They'd be like, whatever they can, they're going to throw at you.
Yeah.
Which, you know, like, given the upbringing Michael had, the drug charges don't massively surprise me. He's probably just following a pattern of behavior.
Yeah.
The attempted sexual assault and inappropriately touching a classmate? No, Michael.
Yeah.
No, like, come on.
Like, and people might try and use the argument of, yeah, but he was sexually assaulted. Yeah, but if I was sexually assaulted, the last thing I would... I don't get how that mindset works of, well, it happened to me, so I'm going to do it to other people. Like, you'll get people trying to victimize it and be like, it's the norm to him.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not. You know it's fucking wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you're hiding it when you fucking do it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that is going to come round a little bit later, that kind of viewpoint, because we have debated it ourselves regarding other issues.
Yeah.
Now, jumping forward a few years, on Friday, the 19th of July, 2013, police arrive in a neighbourhood filled with abandoned houses. They were there to investigate a report of a foul odour emanating from within a garage. They enter this garage and find the decomposing body of a woman. Police check the lease on the property, and they see the name Michael Madison. They then obtain a search warrant for Michael's apartment, where they find, quote, further evidence of decomposition. Whatever that means.
But, you know how you said they're abandoned houses?
Mm-hmm.
So why is there a lease on it?
No. The neighbourhood is filled with abandoned houses.
Oh, okay.
They later find Michael at his mother's house, where a two-hour standoff ensues. But they do manage to take him into custody without incident. The day following the gruesome garage discovery, police find another body hidden in the basement of a nearby abandoned house, and then another in the backyard. Quote, everything was in about a 250-foot proximity to where he lives. So, of course, uncovering the remains of three women within such close proximity led investigators to question just how many others were there yet to be found.
Bit lazy, isn't it? Doing it on your own street.
Yeah. And that's the whole thing. If it's right there, you're kind of thinking, well, what else is about? Yeah. Is there anything he really doesn't want us to find?
Yeah. Like the ones what always scare me when you think of like serial killers or serial rapists is truck drivers, long distance truck drivers.
Yeah.
They're the ones what freak me out the most because say if it's in America, they could literally, one could happen in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of days later, one happens in Florida.
Yeah.
Then one could happen in Colorado.
Yeah. Oh, they're shifty bastards.
This guy can't even shift off his street.
No.
Like.
Yeah. I was actually thinking about doing, you know, kind of like the roundup episode and cover a few different trucker killers in the one. Mortals, let me know if you think you'd like to hear that episode. I'll be covering your father as well in the episode, Neil.
What do you mean?
Mole Sutcliffe over there. Well, he's not over there anymore. He's dead now, but, you know.
That's not me fucking... Stop!
Allegedly.
Right, stop it.
What?
Stop it, because... No, because it'll start going around Instagram and stuff, but
that's my
dad was fucking Sutcliffe.
That's my every hope. I'm trying to get the ball rolling.
Literally, the only thing we have in common is, yeah. is from Yorkshire.
Yes.
And he's got dark hair and a beard. That is it.
Yeah, but also... You know, for people who are just hearing the words, they know that your father was a truck driver from Yorkshire at the same time.
I don't even think he had Italian in him.
What?
I don't even think he had Italian in him.
But the Italian comes from your mother's side. Don't worry about that. We'll talk about it on the episode about Sutcliffe and his truck driving ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
But stop saying it's my father.
No.
Because people will believe it.
On the Sunday evening, Police and about 36 volunteers searched along the railroad, across yards and through 40 vacant properties. Cadaver dogs were also brought in to aid the search, but found nothing. With no other bodies materialising, Mayor Gary Norton said, quote, "Hopefully, we pray to God, this is it." And it was. One volunteer said, quote, "It doesn't make the city look good, but as far as everybody coming together, it's beautiful." And I got to be honest, I really do feel for... You okay, Neil?
Yeah, no, it's just that doesn't make the city look good. Oh, I'm sorry, but people was murdered in your fucking city. That's their first thought. Oh, don't make the city look good. Who gives a shit?
I get what you're saying. The quote out of context sounds a little bit off.
Sounds off in context.
But you don't know the context yet.
It's what he's just said.
You don't know the full context yet.
Oh.
Well, Neil, you've got to remember that within the space of a few years, people within this area witnessed some of the most shocking crimes unfold. Within this area, there was Anthony Soule, who was the serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
They had Ariel Castro. He was the man who abducted the women. Do you remember the various women and kept them within his home for years? And now they have Michael Madison, yet another serial killer.
Right.
So when you look at it like that, for them to have their city constantly getting these, like, not bad or violent report, like this, like serial killers, like rapists, abduction, you know, the worst of the worst, like boom, boom, boom about your city. I can understand when she says, it's nice to see us coming together.
Yeah.
But out of context, it's very like, oh, yeah. Slightly off.
I would have been more like, we're going to up our police force. We're going to up our police presence. Reassure the people of the city. Are you okay?
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
What do you mean?
What has one got to do with the other?
Of course it's relevant.
How so?
Bloody relevant.
Well, this is a volunteer just saying, you know, our city has gone through some shit, but I'm glad to see us coming together.
Yeah.
And now you're saying you'll reassure people that they're going to up the police presence.
Well, I didn't realise it were a volunteer. I thought it was like a mayor or something.
No.
Okay, well, I would be protesting for him to up the police force. I'd be like, the fucking... They're moving over here to do the killings.
The medical examiner noted that the bodies were in advanced stages of decomposition and that it would take days to be able to identify these women and the causes of their deaths. With the help of some tattoos, fingerprints, dental records and DNA testing, these bodies were later identified as 28-year-old Shatisha Sheely, 38-year-old Angela Deskins, an 18-year-old Sherelda Helen Terry.
18.
A baby.
Fucking hell.
Sherelda was last seen leaving the elementary school where she worked on the 10th of July 2013. Angela had been reported missing the month previous. But Shatisha, she had been reported missing back in September of 2012. Sherelda Terry's grandmother described her as a good girl. She kept in regular communication with her family and attended Bible study groups. A loving girl who often showed her affection through hugs, something that her family often teased her about. Shatisha Sheely was someone who had not always had an easy go of it. In 2012, Shatisha was arrested and charged with firing a weapon from a vehicle, although the charges were later dropped due to there being no witnesses to this. While waiting the 3 months for the case to go to court, Shatisha spent this time in jail, as she did not have anyone to help her post the $1,000 bail. She was said to have come from a, quote, troubled family background and, quote, lived life on the edge. She was a mother to a 12-year-old girl, and Shatisha lived on her own while her mother stayed with family. She was described as being vulnerable as she struggled to make a life. She was reported missing in September of 2012, but her mother, Kim, said that she feared the worst had happened when Shatisha didn't show up to her brother's funeral after he had been shot and killed in December of that year. So, incredibly difficult for her family. For a mother to lose two of her children, and not just to have died, but they had been murdered within months of each other.
Yeah, if I lived in this fucking neighbourhood, I'd move.
In contrast to some of the struggles that Chetisha faced, Angela was said to have come from a supportive family who were in a position to provide her with a place to stay. Quote, she always had a place to rest her head. They always assured that she had money to live with. She was described as a very trusting person, and the mayor had actually known Angela and her family for years, even attending school with some of the family members. Her family were entrepreneurs, and the mayor stated that, ironically, they owned a company which had helped to decrease the amount of vacant and abandoned houses in the area.
This actually sounds familiar, so I don't know the case, and I know I've said it before in different cases, but I think Criminal Minds did an episode based on this. It was bodies of young women, and they were finding these bodies in abandoned houses in the same neighbourhood.
Okay.
So it sounds very similar to this.
I mean, it could have been, but I wouldn't say it's that unusual for someone to leave a body in an abandoned house.
But this was bodies. This was a serial killer.
Okay.
Off the top of your head, do you know many serial killers what mainly stashed bodies in abandoned houses?
Not off the top of my head, no. But I also, I can't take your word for this happened on Criminal Minds because your memory's shocking.
Yeah.
Angela was said to have been a wonderful daughter, sister and aunt who truly cared about her family and friends. Now, while speaking with police, Michael admitted to one of the murders and disposing of two of the bodies. He told investigators that he could not remember killing the other two women and stated that he thinks drink and drugs are the reason for his impaired memory. Michael was also charged for the sexual assault of one of the women. The medical examiner later concluded that Sherelda and Angela had been strangled to death, possibly using a rope or cord. Chetisha's death is more unclear, with her manner of death being stated as, quote, homicidal violence by unspecified means.
Just going back to him, his statement saying he owned up to killing one and disposing of two.
Mm-hmm.
If I was the cop, I'd be going, okay, so you're saying because of drinking drugs, you can't remember. Did you never question to yourself why you were disposing of a body? He's admitted to disposing of two and killing one. So wouldn't you question yourself of why were you disposing of a second body? You know you killed him.
Mm-hmm.
Stop fucking just trying to play a card. I don't even know what card it is.
To be honest with you, I mean, there's every chance he was lying.
Yeah.
But I think it is possible that Michael doesn't fully remember. Because I find it quite odd that he would admit to disposing of two bodies.
Yeah.
You know, surely he would just confess to the one body found within the property he was leasing. And be like, I don't know anything about the other two women.
Yeah. Yeah, unless his memory's that shit, he couldn't remember what he'd owned up to.
Well, with the previous abuse that Michael had suffered in childhood, he doesn't actually remember a lot of it.
Oh.
Yeah, so that kind of trauma, he's blocked out a lot of that trauma. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that whether it's partially blocking things out that he doesn't want to remember, or, like you said, drinking drugs,
right,
impairing his memory.
Yeah.
Following the murders, Michael contorted their bodies into a fetal position. He then placed them into bin bags and covered them with tape before hiding the bodies in the various locations mentioned. While the search was being conducted, the chief of police cautioned those who were helping, quote, the MO of each body we found so far was wrapped up in a lot of garbage bags. So if you see anything, and it might not look like a body, but it could be, because each bag, the way each person was in a fetal position, it didn't look like a person could actually fit in the bag.
Basically, now, you don't need to cast your net far and wide to go searching. They're in this neighbourhood. It doesn't really go past this neighbourhood.
Well, it's not really about that. It's much more about, you know, you could look in the corner and see, you know, a bin bag.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like he's having to prepare them for what you could potentially find.
Yeah.
A body's bad to find. A body that's kind of, like I said, been contorted. Like, I kept reading people wording as folded. He had folded their bodies. Like, he's contorting them. They weren't like that. They didn't pass in that position or anything like, you know what I mean?
So it's basically...
You're manipulating their body.
So it's basically, don't look at something and think, nah, body won't fit in that.
Exactly. And imagine having that said to you.
Yeah.
You're already volunteering to do this horrific task.
Yeah.
You know, it's... I mean, fair folks to every single volunteer.
Yeah, it's fucking mad. Like, you've got to think a lot of these volunteers that... They won't be prepared. They'll think they're not going to find anything. They will have it in their mindset, but they're not going to... I'm not going to find anything.
I'm not going to find anything, or I'm going to find, like, you know, someone's shoe.
Yeah.
Or maybe a handbag or whatever.
Yeah.
Police Chief Ralph Spotts said, quote, "He really hasn't stated that there's any more, but he hasn't said anything that would make us think that there's not." So, like I said, it was the three women.
Yeah.
Those were the bodies found, and that was the total number.
Yeah.
But, you know, at that point in the investigation, they're thinking, Jesus, like, how many are there? And it was also theorised that Michael may have been influenced by the crimes of Anthony Soule. So Anthony was also known as the Cleveland Strangler, and he was a rapist and serial killer who operated in, you guessed it, the Cleveland area. Comparisons were drawn not just because of the strangulation or sexually motivated aspects of the crimes, but also due to the poor level of effort that was put into concealing their crimes and the bodies being left within the vicinity of their living space. Within Anthony's home, the remains of 11 women were found.
Fucking hell.
Yep. Now, a neighbour of Michael's claimed that about a month previous to his arrest, he threatened to kill a woman in a similar fashion to Anthony. One of Michael's past girlfriends told police that he had a fixation with Anthony Soule. She stated that he would regularly watch videos about the case, and she said that he felt sympathy for Anthony, even crying for him. Although he didn't appear to have the same level of compassion towards those who were at the receiving end of his twisted, violent acts.
And people just let this happen.
What do you mean, let it happen?
Right. Say if we were... Right. There is a massive difference to, say you're out in public, yeah? You're walking down the road, minding your own business, you know? Enjoying listening to the birds sing and that, right? There's a massive difference between hearing someone go, "I will fucking kill you," to someone describing how they would kill them in detail.
Well, I mean, I think take that with a pinch of salt, because that's a neighbor saying, like, did he just say, like, "I'm going to strangle you" or something, which I'm not saying that's okay.
Yeah.
But is someone making the connection more so in their head? And again, bear in mind, they're in the area where this happened previously, and now they're seeing another serial killer killing women, you know.
Yeah.
Are people putting two and two together? And, you know.
Mm.
Now, the girlfriend saying that, that's a bit more concerning.
Yes.
But you can't arrest someone for showing compassion for another.
Like, could you imagine if me and you were watching, say it were a documentary on, like, an incel, and if I started tearing up and going, "It's just lonely. Like, why won't any women give him a chance?" Would you stay with me for 10 years?
We would have a very strongly worded discussion. If you fucking come out with some shit like that.
Yeah.
But I have heard online.
Yes.
The debate being put forward.
Yes.
I mean, I've seen a grown man cry for incels.
I can name him.
I think many of us can. And he's like, "They're just lonely men." And it's like, yeah, they're a bit more than a lonely man. And you know what? If you're fucking lonely, maybe there's a reason for it in this situation.
Yeah.
The incel situation. If you hate women, why do you think they'd want you or be even just to be around you?
This is why when it comes to the incel thing, I
can't with this.
I'm so confused. I don't think they know what they want or don't want.
They're blaming women for their failures, essentially.
Yes.
That's
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
Fucking, they are. Anyway, back to Michael.
Yeah.
Michael was often seen around the neighborhood, and one woman had even had words with him regarding her daughter. She later said, quote, "It's very scary, especially when he used to be talking to my daughter. But I told him he was too old to be talking to my daughter because she was only 19. When I found out how old he was, I said, 'You need to move on. She's too young.'"
Fair play. It really gets to me how it people are starting to crack down on it now, but for far too long it was normalized that men, you know, as long as and I'm doing air quotes here, as long as the female is legal, it's okay. And it's like, no, because, like, it doesn't matter about your age. Why are you going for someone who you get into as close to a child,
yes,
as you legally can?
Yes.
Why is that okay?
We actually were talking about this the other day. Do you remember saying about, I think it's young. The age of consent in the UK is 16.
Yeah.
In Ireland, it's 17.
Yeah.
And we were saying about if it was to be raised. And we're saying, what type of a person would have an issue with the age of consent being raised?
Yes.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, what's wrong with that? Like,
and it doesn't matter. Right, you're going to pounce on me, but let me get it out.
Work away.
It doesn't matter what the age of consent is. It really doesn't. You could put the age of consent at 14, or you could put it at 25. If you put the age of consent at 14, men would go for 15-year-olds.
Yeah.
If you put it at 25, they're going to go for 26-year-olds. They're going to go as close as they fucking possibly can.
Yeah.
And for it to be legal.
Yeah.
So make the age of consent. Like, I think the age of consent should be like 22, 23. You're just looking at me.
Why 22, 23, out of curiosity?
Because I think so most countries where it's the older end, it's 18. I think that's still, they're still a teenager. Get them out of teens. There's too many fucking weirdos who are just going for, well, it's still legal.
I mean, I think 16 is wild.
Yeah. I never.
It's very young.
Yeah. Like, I never saw it as a problem because I was British. It just seemed normal.
Yeah.
You leave school, you now can get married, and you can have sex.
Hey. Well, you know, like, I'm pretty sure it's the same in the UK as Ireland. As far as I'm aware, you know, it's 18 to get married. 16 you can, but you have to have a guardian's permission.
Yeah.
It's...
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, maybe there's something I'm not thinking of here. I do think there should be kind of like a, you know, like a gray area. Because, you know, it's a year or two between people going out.
Yeah.
You know, if you had a 16-year-old dating a 17-year-old, then technically that 17-year-old is doing something. Well, no, sorry, not 16. If you had a 15-year-old dating a 16 or 17-year-old.
Yeah.
It's not a bad age gap. That's fine, in my opinion anyway.
Yeah.
But technically, that 16 or 17-year-old is doing something they shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
In the eyes of the law.
It's a bit like what we were saying yesterday as well. Like, so when we first met, I was 26 and you were 20.
Yeah.
That's okay. But when I was 16, you was 10.
Yeah, that's fucking weird. You dirty bastard. Yeah. What is wrong with you? But see, saying that, if we had met a year younger, it would be weird.
Yes.
Because it's 19.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
But this is what I mean. I think it has to be out of the teens.
Yeah. 21. 2021, yeah. I think. Yeah. I would say fair.
That's one thing the Americans got right with the 21 for drinking. And
yeah. See, I think 21 gambling. For drinking seems crazy, but it's not, really. No. Like, you're fucking consuming alcohol. Yeah. It's shit for you.
It's a drug.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Awful. Not like we have a
especially
segment.
Especially over there in America, it's piss.
It's not like we have a segment, you know, on Patreon where we drink and, you know, chat shit.
Yeah.
We wouldn't do that. Who would do that? So again, back to Michael. The neighbour who had initially reported the smell of decomposition said that he had once got into an argument with Michael over the driveway and that he had also witnessed his behaviour with others. Quote, from what I know, he was an okay person when I first met him. And then from there, he actually had a lot of conflicts with different girls that he knew.
They usually do.
When he's real upset with someone, he gets real loud. You could hear him from like 2 blocks away. After my conflict with him, I always watched him. I never turned my back, because you never know. So he's seen some shit from the sounds of it.
Yeah, but I'd also be watching him if I was a cop.
Why is that? Just because he was in close proximity?
No. If I was a cop, right, so I'm a cop and someone phones up and goes, I want you to check out my neighbour. Oh, why is that? Well, there's a smell of decomp coming from their house. I'd be like, how do you know what fucking decomp smells like?
Well, I don't know that he said there's a smell of decomposition.
That's
there's
exactly
a smell
what you just
of
said.
Advance. No, I didn't.
Oh.
He reported what was the smell of decomposition is what I mean. I'm not saying he went, hello, police.
Okay.
There's a body in the advanced stages of decomposition.
That's
please come now. Quick. Get the sirens on. Okay. Lights, everything.
Okay. I took it little. Wow.
Yeah.
I took it literal.
Literally.
I took it literally.
Litter.
Literally. What is...
literally.
I took it literally.
Or you can be like, literally. Is literally easier for you to say?
I took it literally.
There you go.
I took it literally.
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 That doesn't sound like a word anymore now. The chief of police said, quote, a lot of people knew him and saw that he was a troubled individual. And now, you know, we're getting tips from even females saying that they were in his house and they got away, but never said anything. On the 22nd of July, 2013, Michael was charged with 3 counts of aggravated murder. His bail was set at $6 million. Due to the similarities between the cases, a motion was filed by the defence to forbid the mention of the Cleveland Strangler, Anthony Sowell, as not to prejudice the case. This was accepted by the judge. Michael's trial began on the 4th of April 2016, and this trial was not so much about innocent or guilty. From the defence's standpoint, it was more of a case of trying to demonstrate how difficult Michael's life had been and how the psychological damage that was caused may have affected the decisions he made. And this was really about an attempt to spare him of the death penalty.
Look, it's sad when someone has a bad upbringing, but that sadness goes away when you start doing this shit. It's no excuse.
Well, Michael's defense attorney said, quote, this history of abuse and his dysfunctional upbringing certainly doesn't excuse what happened here, but it certainly provides a basis for understanding the type of person Michael Madison evolved into. And, you know, I do think that's fair to say. We're not excusing what he's done. We're not justifying the crimes.
Yeah.
But we need to look at what's really going on here. What's causing a person to make these decisions?
Yeah. Yeah, but you can have people, right, you can have serial killers who've had a grand upbringing mm-hmm. and that. So I think that's why I said what I said before is that goes out of the window about what happened to them in their upbringing, because it's if you look at other serial killers, it's not the case. So It's got nothing, like, it's as if these serial killers use that as an excuse. They're like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, but I had a bad upbringing.
Yeah.
That's why I did it. I'm not normal. And I've heard serial killers say that. I'm not normal.
Yeah, some of them kind of wear that as like a badge of honor
yes.
kind of thing. Yeah.
Yes. Fuck them.
It was concluded that Michael was able to distinguish between right and wrong, and that he was not suffering from any mental illness or defect. But three psychologists did testify to the difficulties he faced and how that may have influenced his behaviour. Now, like I mentioned earlier, Michael doesn't exactly remember a lot of the abuse he suffered as a child, apart from one memory of him being trapped in a room with one of his mother's boyfriends. But psychological experts believe that the lack of a nurturing relationship and the vulnerability that he felt caused disassociation and an altered view of the world. Michael may have been able to distinguish right from wrong, but is there something to be said for someone who was not properly socialised and would have been raised, almost exclusively it seems, with a warped sense of reality?
Mm.
Saying that, I get the feeling with Michael that maybe he did have a distorted view of reality. How can he not, to some capacity?
Yeah.
But I think with Michael, he appears to be more of the type who, you know, this happened to me, so I'm going to do it to others, rather than because this happened to me, I would never want this to happen to another. Like,
yeah.
basically the point you were making.
Yeah, exactly.
And like I mentioned earlier, we've had this discussion many a time, usually in relation to people who hit their kids. You know, there's the whole, it never did me any harm brigade. They love to come out the woodwork. And it's kind of like, well, you know, you're defending the beating of children. So maybe it did. Maybe it did do a little bit of harm. You know, look, I'm not a parent. I don't know. I wasn't hit as a kid.
I was.
Exactly. We come from the two different arguments of it.
Yeah.
But there's something very sadistic about the, it happened to me, so I'm going to do it to the next person thing.
Yeah.
I don't like that argument. I don't think there's any weight to it. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
And I feel like the same people who would say that are the same people who go, no, fuck him. I don't give a fuck about what he's gone through. Lock him away.
Yeah.
And it's like, how does, it doesn't compute what you're saying.
And it, another way to look at it as well, when it comes to getting hit as a kid, it doesn't, right, so, you know when people try to use that argument of, well, you learn. If you did something and you got hit for it, you didn't do it again. You absolutely did. You just learned to hide it better.
Yeah.
I still did the same shit. Yeah.
Exactly. Because you had that kind of mindset of like, it didn't do me any harm before. And then when we talked about it, and yeah, exactly what you just said, you kind of realize, well, no, I just got better at hiding stuff. I got more sneaky, yeah. more deceptive, more of a little shit.
Yeah, and then I got older, you know, and then it's like I said, oh, I've got my own belt now.
Yeah, that's the other thing when people hit their kids. There's going to come a day, like in the Lawson family thing, where it was said that it came that day where Charlie realized he's not the dominant one anymore.
Yeah.
His son was more than capable of defending himself.
Yeah.
And it's gonna happen.
If you're hitting your son, you're going to be hoping and praying that he stops growing.
You're going to raise your hand and they're going to grab that wrist yeah. real quick.
Yeah.
Michael's attorney said, quote, "This individual had no foundation on which to make the proper choices. The evidence will show that Mike's life was further influenced by a disturbed family tree comprised of generations of physical abusers, sex abusers, literally a family tree of abuse.
It's time to cut it down."
Whereas the prosecutors argue that the death penalty will, quote, "send a message to the community that the strongest possible sentence will be imposed upon crimes of this nature." You know, take the point.
Yeah, but like I've said before, don't give them the easy out. Put them in prison for life.
Yeah.
But then you always get into the argument of cost, you know?
Do you know, I have been thinking about it a bit more lately because I'm not like, you know, absolutely not like, if I hear a serial killer's got the death sentence, I'm not like bothered by it.
Yeah.
But I'm never for a death sentence.
Yeah.
And I think where I've kind of landed so far, like, feel free, any listeners, if you have opinions, let me know. Where I've kind of landed where I'm okay with the death sentence is if it's a person that's, you know, perpetrated prolonged abuse and pain, you know, sexual assaults, torture, that kind of a thing. That's where the line is for me. Prolonging a person's suffering for whatever the reason is. You've done that. You know. Do you get what I mean?
And they don't show any remorse.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how true this is. I did a bit of digging. In America, to have someone in prison, it costs $60,000 a year. You know, with all the food, clothing, you know, everything. $60,000 a year. So they need to weigh that up as well.
Yeah.
You know, is it easier to just...
During the trial, two former girlfriends of Michael would testify, with one of them stating that he had said to her that he, quote, hates the female species. So just in case it wasn't already apparent, I think Mikey has a little bit of an issue with women.
Yes. Just a little.
Tad.
Yeah.
On the 5th of May, 2016, after spending less than a day deliberating, a jury found Michael guilty for the murders of Shatisha, Angela and Sherelda, with a recommendation that he be sentenced to death. And on the 2nd of June, Michael was indeed sentenced to death. The judge stated that although Michael did suffer through an abusive and chaotic childhood, his crimes far outweighed the evidence that was given in effort to spare him of the death penalty. Now, during the sentencing hearing, Michael appeared smug and began to smirk. And Van Terry, Sherelda's father, who's present in the court that day, well, he had had enough. Now, you'll quite often hear how he approaches Michael described as lunging. Neil, this man flew over the desk towards Michael.
Dolphin dived.
He hurled his body in Michael's direction. So what had happened was, as Van was giving his victim impact statement, he said, quote, right now, I guess we're supposed to, in our hearts, forgive this clown who has touched our families, taken my child. Now, as he's saying this, Van glances over towards Michael and he sort of pauses. And this is when he realizes that Michael is clearly not taking this seriously and has the audacity to smirk back at him.
Fucking hell.
Next thing you know, Van pushes against the podium he stood at. Like uses it.
Yeah.
As a, what do you, the thing with the
fall? Springboard.
Springboard, that's the one.
Yeah.
He essentially used the podium as a springboard and leaps over the table towards Michael. Now, there was a bit of a scrum, but Van was able to be detained while Michael was ushered out of the room. Fortunately, Van was released without charge. Unfortunately, he was stopped before he was able to get a good dig in.
Could you imagine the uproar if he'd have faced charges?
Oof.
The town would have been up in arms, like.
Yeah. Now, when you watch the footage, obviously this was an immediate reaction out of rage.
Yeah.
But when you see his face, you don't see any anger, you just see pain.
Mm.
It's a father who misses his daughter.
Yeah.
And then on top of that,
he's got
that shite hawk looking at him.
No, you can't be doing that.
Michael was due to be executed on the 15th of May, 2024, but he was granted a stay in order to allow him to exhaust his appeals. Van, Sherelda's father, he passed away in 2019. So pour one out for not only Shatisha, Angela and Sherelda, but also the man who used his body as a fucking frisbee just to try and wipe that look off of Michael's face. And that is the case of Michael Madison and the icon, Van Terry. Neil, thoughts?
Yeah, like that annoys me when I hear that, you know, exhaust their appeals. And it's like, look, are you going to give in? No. So just get it over with.
Get it what?
Get it over with. Like, they're not going to change their mind.
Yeah.
He's been found guilty of murdering all three of them women.
Yeah.
He's shown no remorse. He's actually been smug about it.
Hmm.
So just get it over with.
Yeah, but there's a process, you know what I mean?
But there shouldn't be.
I agree with you when it comes to something of this severity.
A judge should be saying, other than this is the process, a judge should be saying, give me a reason why you should be allowed back in this court to appeal. Give me some good evidence. You ain't got any? Right.
Well, the thing is, I say I agree with you, but I don't entirely. And like you said yourself, you prefer the idea of a life sentence over the death penalty. So would you not be happy for Michael to appeal it and be sentenced to life? Or do you not want that because he's getting what he wants, kind of thing?
No, this is one of them things I'm always going to flip-flop with it because...
Yeah. No, but I think that's fair with this because it's a difficult thing. It's not yes or no.
Like, you want them in prison for life so they suffer for what they've done. But then when you think of the cost for just letting this person breathe oxygen, it's just like...
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think I'm ever going to be able to say whether death penalty should be a thing or not. Like, because it is a lot of money just to keep these fucking wankers alive.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, that's kind of where I've landed. When it's a case of you want to prolong a person's pain and suffering, I find it very hard to argue against it.
Yeah.
Very fucking hard.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think there is a right or wrong.
Yeah.
In my mind, at least how I feel at the moment, I'm always like open to hearing people's argument for or against it though, because I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know.
That's what I mean. It's like, that's the way I look at it. If someone's like, I'm dead against the death penalty, the first thing I say is, okay, but where's the state supposed to get the money from to house all these prisoners?
No, I know what you're saying to do with housing, but then you've also got to look at the money it costs for the appeals process and all of that.
Get rid of it.
What do you mean get rid? You can't just get rid of it.
Well, in this day and age, if you've been sentenced to the death penalty, right, you think about, you know, all these documentaries you watch on a murder case, and you watch how much work and effort have gone in from the detectives to get all the evidence they need just to get a prosecution, you know, and then when they're found guilty and they get the death penalty and they appeal it, like I just said, a judge should be like, what are you going to show me that can fucking change this around?
But there's also plenty of people who have been falsely accused.
Years ago.
What do you mean years ago? Well, still happened today.
Not to my knowledge.
There's plenty of wrongful convictions.
Not for the death penalty. I don't think.
We've literally covered a case. And that was years ago. But we've literally covered a case about a man being wrongfully convicted and sentenced to death.
Yeah. That was like 1920s or something like that, wasn't it?
But does that make it okay? And it's still happening today. There's still people being executed and there's a question mark there.
Yeah.
You know?
So, oddity.
Norman Bates, Italian style.
Norman Bates?
Psycho.
Yeah.
A 56-year-old man from Mantua is currently under investigation for both benefit fraud and concealing a body. This man has been falsely claiming his mother's pension for 3 years. Now, it wasn't just that he kept going to the post office as her named person to collect her pension. This fucker took it as far as to dress up as his deceased mother. I'm talking wig, makeup, jewellery, the works. And not to allow for any discrepancies, you know, with all the work he had put into his styling, he also imitated her voice. But it was said, quote, occasionally, a few masculine notes slipped out. Quote, he wore lipstick, nail polish, jewellery, old-fashioned earrings, and had a dark brown bob of hair. You know, go off. Throw that lipstick on, polish your nails, wear those pearls, rock the wig.
You fucking do not.
But given the level of effort and the fact that it was to impersonate his mother, I can't help but envision him getting ready for this in the same vein as Buffalo Bill. You know, very good by horses.
But how was he getting away with this? How many years?
3.
And not one person looked at him and went, hang on a minute, that's not her.
Well, the council staff read him to filth, eventually.
Okay.
They noted that his neck was, quote, a bit too thick and even the wrinkles were strange.
Should meet an Irish woman.
What's that meant to mean?
Well, like, big...
What?
Big neck and that.
Big like, neck? What?
Like, good stock.
Yeah.
We're getting back to good stock.
Yeah.
They might have a thick neck.
Yeah, you're trying to say Italian women aren't good stock. What's your issue with Italians, Neil?
Well, you've got
an issue with Italian women.
No.
Is that...
No, stop trying to make... No. Stop trying to twist this. They're not built like a fucking... Like a fucking Scandinavian. Where they're...
What?
Because... You know, I think Viking blood and that.
No, hang on. Right, let's just clear this up right now. Because you made this claim. Baseless claim. You're well known, you're famous for it.
It's not baseless.
Your baseless claims.
From my eyes.
From your eyes. I looked up the average height. In Sweden.
Yeah.
5'5". 5'5" is the average height. Same as in Ireland, 5'5".
Yeah.
Do you know why you think it's so outrageously tall? Is because the average height in the UK is apparently 5'4". That extra inch is really fucking you
no,
up, isn't it?
No. I'm just going off of when I was in Sweden, you noticed a lot of big women. Big as in fucking tall.
Yeah.
They were bigger in stature.
It's just, you're just chatting so much shit. It's unbelievable.
Well, look, at least I'm not dressing up like a deceased relative.
Do you know, I think your problem is because your whole family are more petite in stature. So you look at anyone who's average height or tall as being like monstrous, gigantic bastards. Look at them roaming free.
Fucks, roaming free.
Yeah. Now, like I said, read him to filth over his neck.
Yeah.
But they did compliment his skin. Quote, the skin in his hands did not seem to be that of an 85-year-old woman.
Never done a hard day's work in his life then.
Well, I mean, good man though. Keep up with the moisturizer, you know. Can't all get Botox.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Who but gets your hand... Botox in their hands?
Well, you can, yeah. But what I'm saying to you is, you know, even if you do, and you've frozen your face, you've kept the wrinkles at bay,
yeah.
Your hands are going to show your fucking age.
And your Adam's apple. Well, not age.
Not so much your age, no. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's the things that are going to give you away.
So what punishment did he get?
No, he's under investigation at the moment.
Oh.
Yeah. Now, you said he's never done a hard day's work in his life.
Yeah.
That's probably not true because this man had previously had a career in nursing. But with his mother's pension, along with 3 properties, he no longer had to work.
Okay, nursing. No, I meant like, somewhere where you have to swing an axe or, you know.
Well, be careful of that. Again, we're going back to the Lawson family. You know, you got to be careful with that type of thing.
Yeah.
Do you want to know how much it was reported that he was bringing in a year?
Go on.
€53,000.
From a pension?
Pension and the properties.
Fucking hell.
He's fucking doing all right,
yeah.
like.
Yeah.
That's not even like he was doing this to survive. He was milking it.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, his mother had died in 2022 at the age of 82. But it must have slipped his mind to report her death. And again, this is under investigation, allegedly slipped his mind
yeah.
to report her death. I tell you what, 53,000 euros annually will do that to you, won't it? Cause you.
Yeah.
Have a bit of the old impairment.
Bit of amnesia. Amnesia? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Selective.
Do you know what the other word what was in my head?
Mm.
Ambrosia.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, no. I don't know how he went over 3 years, allegedly. Now you've pointed out it's under investigation. It isn't proven yet, so I have to say allegedly.
Well, right. You're saying you don't know how he went 3 years getting away with it?
Yeah.
I don't know how he went 3 years with his living situation. It was reported that his mother's mummified remains were found wrapped in a sleeping bag within the closet of his home. Now,
fuck that.
Yeah. To know that a body, never mind your mother or whoever close to you,
yeah.
but a body is just sitting there.
See, but from all this, like, it is bad, but it is a bit of a relief. Because when you said Norman Bates, I straight away pictured him dressing up as his mother and murdering people. And it wasn't him, it was his mother.
Ah, no, he didn't go that far yet.
Okay.
Yet.
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 Allegedly.
Allegedly. Come on now, lads. Calm down. Casting aspersions. So, of course, when they found the body, an autopsy is needed.
Yeah.
They need to find out her cause of death. But it's thought he may have used a syringe to remove bodily fluids in order to slow down the process of decomposition. So he's thought this all out. He's done the damn thing.
He's a nurse.
Yes.
So he's got his met.
He knows where he's fucking at.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you the best part now. It wasn't just that he was wrongly claiming her pension. His mother's ID card had expired, and he was bold enough to try and renew it, dressed as her.
Fuck off.
No, I will not. It was the worker who was tasked with issuing the new card who copped on to the old Norman Bates over there. So when she kind of got a little bit sus of him, she arranged for him to attend another appointment to finish some paperwork. And when he arrived, she had the police there waiting for him. He also drove to the office dressed as the elderly woman, although she never even had a driver's license.
Ah, fuck off.
Fucking idiot. Like, what the fuck? I gotta be honest, though. When you look at a side-by-side photo, they do kind of look alike. He does kind of look like his mother.
I bet they fucking don't.
No, like, if you're the person, if you would talk to her, if yeah. you knew fucking, you know, old Rita over there,
yeah,
you're not going to mistake them. But if you didn't and you just saw him leaving the house, you'd be like, oh, there's Rita. She's going to collect her pension. Good woman. Isn't that great? Fucking in her 80s, just still up and about, active as fuck. Do you get what I'm saying?
She's not as talkative these days.
No, not so much. Voice has gone a bit raspy.
She's a bit raspy and she's a bit ignorant.
Yeah.
Always in a rush.
Yeah. Now, this oddity, what do you think of it?
Weird. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
So this was recommended multiple times by different listeners. They know the source. This is a perfect story for us.
Yeah. They're wanting my reaction.
I imagine so.
Yeah.
I wanted your reaction. There was that, like, I'd seen this myself online. I didn't realize there was that much to it. There's a lot going on.
Is this the one? I'd never looked at it because I never do. But there'd be like posts on social media and it'd be like a modern Ed Gein, a summer.
I didn't see anyone saying that.
Oh. I'll have to try and find that then to show you because I don't know what that was.
But yeah, just on that note, if any of you guys suggest a case and if I don't say your name, It's usually because, you know, it can get a little bit messy if multiple people have maybe suggested something or whatever. I don't want to be left out or what have you. But, you know, if you have suggested and we end up covering it, feel free to, like, leave a comment or anything. Shout yourself out.
Yeah.
Go for it. Take the credit.
Yeah, it's my fault.
It actually happened once that I covered a case that had been suggested, and I didn't even know. Neil had seen the message. I didn't. I went off, which the hilarious thing is, it's not like a massive case.
Yeah.
It's fairly unknown. And I was like, when did they suggest this? But it was a happy accident.
Yeah.
It was a good one. Anyway.
You'll have to keep me informed on this bastard.
Norman on his Roman holiday over there.
Yeah.
Mm.
Is it Rome?
No.
Oh. Won't pop into
just, I just thought it was like a joke I could make. You know, Italy, Rome, that whole connection.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, do you know how I said, but you're like, you come from good stock. You know, you're a sturdy woman.
By the way, I'm 5'5". Like, I'm not even like massively tall or anything.
You would have better luck impersonating your father for his pension than you would your mother.
Brilliant.